We are back on the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon, our guy Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
It snowed this week, Lindsay. You know how I'm doing. I do not like the snow at all.
It's December. It's going to snow in Cincinnati.
I am cold. I was freezing at practice today. It was like snow flurries earlier today, but you know, it is Christmas time. I'm trying to get in the holiday spirit, even though it doesn't really feel like Christmas is next week. And 2020 is almost over as well.
Good.
How are you two doing?
Tyler, I'm confused. We had this conversation a couple of days ago. You spent the winter in Bristol. And compared to that, what we have now, I don't think it is too bad at all. So the weather is not a huge concern for me. I'm doing well.
Well, yeah, compared to Bristol, it is not nearly as cold. But, you know, I still got California blood in me. And I don't do well in cold weather. My brain doesn't work. My body doesn't work. Everything doesn't work.
You know what doesn't work right now? Geno Atkins. We have a lot of injury news.
I thought you were going to say the Bengals.
Well, that's not working either. But we'll focus on individual players because it was a busy week in Cincinnati. We'll start with Geno Atkins. Done for the season. Zach Taylor did confirm in his Thursday press conference that he's going to get shoulder surgery. There's a lot to process there because we've talked about Geno Atkins or the lack thereof when it comes to reps. We knew he was nursing a shoulder injury. And I want to give credit to Geno because, look, he's been with the Bengals for a really long time now and one of the veterans on this team, a leader. You hear from Mike Daniels and other guys on the defensive line who just love playing with Geno Atkins. He was fighting through that shoulder injury. And do you think that had to do with the reps taken or do you think that was just part of the game plan?
I think his shoulder hampered him severely this season when he injured it during training camp, you know. And I heard even before it got out that that shoulder was bothering him more than the team let it known. And, you know, because he's a competitor, because the type of person he is, he wanted to, you know, test it out and, you know, battle it out in the football field, but it was obvious that, you know, his shoulder was affecting him throughout the season, missed, you know, the first four games, but he was laboring out there, you can tell, and his shoulder was just never right this season. So you would hope for his sake that he'll, after his shoulder surgery, he'll be able to make, you know, of course, a speedy recovery and return to form, you know, but there is, you know, some I will say there's some pessimism out there that he might not be the Geno Atkins of old. So that is something that, you know, the Bengals are worried about. That is something, you know, a lot of people are concerned about. And, you know, a source did tell me that after the season, the Bengals and Geno Atkins are going to have a conversation about his future. Right now, the belief is that the two sides are going to part ways after the season. The Bengals will save $9.6 million salary cap space if they part ways with Geno Atkins. That's not a final answer yet. They still could change their mind. And, you know, Geno Atkins could still be back next season. But from what I'm hearing, they're leaning towards, you know, moving in a different direction and going younger at that interior defensive tackle spot three technique, which is what Geno Atkins is. So, you know, you hope he has a speedy recovery. You hope he's able to come back strong because, I mean, I've only been covering this team for 2 years, but I've known Geno Atkins as a player for a long time. He's one of the best defensive tackles, you know, in the last decade and certainly should be a future Hall of Famer, eight-time Pro Bowler, and, you know, he has done a lot for the Bengals franchise in his career, And, you know, he deserves a lot of respect because he's a very, very – he was – I mean, still – I mean, he's a very good player. His resume speaks for itself, and, you know, you just wish him well in his shoulder surgery.
Well, I thought it was most interesting and also more meaningful when today we heard from, kind of for the first time in a long time, two other defensive tackles. We heard from Christian Covington and Marcus Hunt, and all that they had to say was respect and even some sort of admiration for the way Geno Atkins played through his injury this season. Because we don't speak to Geno, and honestly, because we don't hear from the defensive tackle room too often, where you kind of lose sight of what that room has gone through over the course of the season. Geno getting hurt in the preseason. DJ Reader suffering a season-ending injury. Renell Wren's out. Josh Tupu's out. It's a bunch of guys who are new to Cincinnati, are in much bigger roles than the Bengals anticipated. And the way that Geno Atkins has helped those guys on the field and off the field really shined through when Covington and Hunt discussed Atkins' impact. You know, Geno just won, or was just nominated as the Bengals Man of the Year. And again, because we hadn't heard from that position group as much, you know, I kind of lost sight of how much, again, Geno had impacted the defensive line room and the Bengals. Now, one last thing about Marcus Hunt. I thought it was interesting we heard from him today, because him and Geno are two of, I think, the five oldest defensive tackles in the NFL. And two of the 10 or 15 oldest defensive tackles who have played in the NFL over the last 5 years at any point. Marcus said it's incredibly hard for a defensive tackle, a position which often doesn't shine in the stat sheet, to continue to prove their production statistically, because it's such a what have you done for me lately business. He gave some insight to how difficult it has been for Geno to even accomplish what he has in Cincinnati. And I guess that's the mindset I'm looking at from Geno, because, you know, he's one of the best Bengals in franchise history.
I kind of go back to just months before the season started, when they signed Mike Daniels out there to be more of a rotating depth piece, and him talking about, yeah, man, I'm just really excited to play with DJ Reader. And Geno Atkins and DJ Reader had the same praise for playing with what Tyler mentioned, a future Hall of Famer in Geno Atkins. But obviously, when you're an OG on this team and they're going to have that conversation at the end of the season to decide if he's going to stay or if they're going to part ways. But then you think about that group this year. You have Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap is gone, and then AJ Green. We've talked about it earlier this week on the Bengals Beat podcast and heard from him after the game against the Cowboys. And that sounds like it's pretty much over in Cincinnati. And a lot of people, and I threw it out there on social media this week, and I was like, I never really thought Geno Atkins, it's not official or anything like that, they're going to have conversations, but if it is, I never thought his last season in Cincinnati would turn out the way it did this season. And then you can point to the other guys on the team, Carlos Dunlap, AJ Green, never in a million years thought their last season in stripes would end the way it has been in Cincinnati. And yeah, you can point to injuries with Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap wanted more playing time, and AJ Green, it is what it is. There's so many things to point to when it comes to that and how he's used in the offense. But if you think about it, guys who are on teams for a really long time and they go to another team eventually and get a couple more seasons, rarely is it a happy ending. Rarely is it a breakout year, because if it is, you're going to try and bring the guy back. It is what it is around the NFL, and I think we focus on it more because it's happening in Cincinnati. So obviously you're going to look at that group and look at some of the OGs on the offense and defensive side. And I think the biggest thing about that group is, yeah, should have gotten something for him last season. That is the biggest waste of talent.
I like the OG reference.
I like to throw that in there.
You know, all the events that have transpired this season is just further evidence that the Bengals are in a transition phase. And it takes a while to rebuild sometimes. And the Bengals are at the beginning stages of a rebuild. Started last year, and this is the second season. it's gonna take a while. Fans have to be patient. You obviously hope to produce more than four wins over the course of two seasons, but you know, this is what a rebuild is. The veterans, they get old, they, you know, aren't as productive anymore. They get traded away. They get disgruntled. They, you know, bicker about playing time. You know, some they retire. I mean, these are the things that happen during a rebuild. This is not something a new isolated incident specifically with the Bengals. This happens year in and year out when teams are in the midst of a rebuild, and the Bengals are. You can tell that a lot of positions, they're going younger. They spent a whole lot of money over last offseason on positions because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to insert new talent and rebuild, the franchise. And it's just going to take a while. Geno Atkins, I can see, obviously, they're going to have a conversation, like I already said, after the season. AJ Green's another one of those players. He's said all the right things in public and through Zoom and everything, but as a competitor, as an athlete, it's pretty obvious that he wants to get the ball more. He wants, you know, more touches. And, you know, the Bengals, they're liking what they see in T. Higgins. They're liking what they see in, you know, Tyler Boyd. Now, one can argue that AJ is not the same player anymore. And he's lost maybe a step or two. And he's not the AJ Green of, you know, a few years ago. He doesn't create the separation. He's not as explosive anymore. So, you know, that's just what happens. And yeah, I can see a situation where I'm not going to say this definitively, but I can see a situation where next year the Bengals do not have Geno Atkins or AJ Green and a couple more familiar faces on the roster.
And just to hit on the point Lindsay was discussing, honestly, it reminds me of a different conversation I had with Lindsay over on our friend podcast, the Reds Beat podcast. We were discussing Sonny Gray trade rumors, and where the Reds were going, and the potential of trading their best remaining pitcher, maybe the best player.
Y'all cheated on me on the Reds podcast?
You can join anytime.
Sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
What something Bobby Nightingale said was how the Rays have gotten out ahead with a lot of their players and traded them for kind of value on the come before they peaked, and they've replenished their talent pool that way. That really doesn't happen in the NFL. The only players who get traded for really good value are pretty much young stars and quarterbacks. That's about it. Thinking about the great players who have been traded, you know, Khalil Mack, Remy Tunsil, Minka Fitzpatrick, Tony Bynum, you know, Andy Dalton, AJ Green, Carlos Dunlap, and Geno Atkins, they don't fall in that camp of 25, 26, 27, and rising and under contract. That's not who they were, so, you know, I think what the Bengals bet on was that they might get more value from the players they saw as their stars than maybe a third or a fourth or a fifth round pick could provide. So, you know, it really doesn't happen in the NFL that teams make the moves that I've seen people, you know, on social media arguing that the Bengals retrospectively should have made. You know, that's just not how it works almost in football. It's not a trade happy system as most other professional sports.
I want to say with injuries right now, the Bengals made it pretty much official this week. We're not going to see Trey Waynes this season. And I know there were reports about a month ago that he could come back in December. Obviously, he wasn't going to come back. It was similar to Jonah Williams last year. The team wasn't in contention. They only have two wins and a tie. There's really no point in putting Trey Waynes out there. But it also makes you think about the future, because we talked last week about the Carl Lawson, William Jackson III. Obviously, this team's going to be thinking about extensions. I doubt they bring both back, but who knows if they make room for it, and they do. They need the help on the defensive side. You have to be pretty pleased, besides the Cowboys game, with really how the secondary has played, and obviously Carl Lawson, they need that help out there. William Jackson III playing like a top 15 cornerback in the NFL right now. They had Trey Waynes. They pulled up the money truck for Trey Waynes. He didn't play this season. Still don't really know what you have in Trey Waynes in Cincinnati. Yeah, you can look at Minnesota. not all thumbs up there, but if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, what are you doing? What are you doing in that situation?
Putting me on the spot again. I do not think that William Jackson III will be back next year. I do think he's going to go in a different direction, and I think other teams will throw money at him. The Bengals have invested a lot in Trey Waynes. They're also thinking about re-upping Jesse Bates, whose contract is coming up soon, not next year, but the year after. So, and then Carl Lawson, obviously, whose contract expires at the end of the season. So they have some money that, you know, they want to, you know, give to some players. And, you know, and limited opportunity because of injuries and just playing time. Darius Phillips, the Bengals do like him at cornerback and want to see what he can do in a bigger role. Last year, he led the team in interceptions. So maybe you can see a scenario where Darius Phillips and Trey Waynes are the two starting cornerbacks next year. I like how we're talking about next year already when the season's
up. I just thought of that. I'm like, we really need to get into this game, and we will in just a moment. But, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, to answer your question, you know, the Bengals, they're going to have some tough decisions to make. And I can tell you that even though there are three games left, they're already, you know, starting to think about those tough decisions that are looming. And that begins with, you know, what they're going to do in the secondary, what they're going to do with AJ, what they're going to do with Geno, what they're going to do with Carl Lawson. Are you going to already give Jesse Bates an extension? He's playing like, you know, one of the best safeties in footballs. So there are a lot of decisions that are coming up, very important decisions that are coming up for the Cincinnati Bengals.
So it's funny, I was thinking after our conversation we had recently about Lou Anarumo, and I might even ask some Bengals this or a couple guys this in his upcoming Zoom, what is the identity of the Bengals defense? And by that I mean, you know, the offense was very clearly with Burrow, a pass-first offense that had a great slot receiver, could find guys on the outside, and kept the running back and tight end block as touchdown guys. They were a passing offense. I'm still not sure what the Bengals' best unit on their defense is. Obviously, the defensive line has struggled, and the Bengals, since Lou Anarumo took over, have really only invested in a run stopper in DJ Reader and haven't added as many pass rushers as probably the exception of Mike Daniels. At linebacker, they've probably, you know, they have made investments in Josh Bynes and Wilson and T.J. Skather. But I'm not sure that's the strength of the team either. And then in the secondary, where they made the most investments, that hasn't necessarily led to the Bengals, you know, becoming this terrific pass defense. Clearly, they rank towards the bottom of the league in passing defense. But it has not translated, partially because Williams has been out, but just in general, the pass defense hasn't been there. So that's what I think is interesting about this Carl Lawson versus Will Jackson versus free agent X discussion. Regardless of who the Bengals defensive coordinator is, who do they want to be? Honestly, I'm not sure yet, you know, what the overall long-term vision for the defense is, what they want, you know, the equivalent of the Burrow to Higgins and Boyd combination of their defenses. You know, I kind of look forward to hearing what they think their bread and butter is defensively right now and what they want it to be going forward. Because until we know the answer to that question, I don't know how to answer the question what they do with guys like Jackson and Boston.
And we'll get into all that free agency stuff in about 3 weeks, but I just wanted to hit on that because we did know the Trey Waynes news, and obviously with Geno Atkins being official and done for the season, I think, and I'll throw this in before we do predictions, I think Jesse Bates is the most important one this offseason, and I know it's silly to think like they could do it and just play, let him play out next year and see what happens and then do the extension. That guy doesn't have to come back next year. after next year. So I will go ahead and get that wrapped up, and I think that's the most important one with the way he's playing, like one of the best safeties in the NFL. I know Tyler likes to roll his eyes when I say that, but one.
I said one of the best safeties in the NFL.
Not the best one.
I can't say the best, but I can say one of the best.
Yes, Jesse Bates. I still feel like he's the most important one, but we're going to get in all that free agency fun soon. Sorry, guys. This team has two wins. So I'm sorry that I'm looking ahead.
Four wins since last season.
That tie.
That's the fewest amount since the start of last season.
Well, here's my hot take.
Even the Jets have more wins. They have 0 wins this year and still have more wins than the Cincinnati Bengals do over the course of 2 seasons.
Well, but they're going to add another one this coming Monday Night Football. It's so crazy to think.
Add another win?
Add another L.
Oh.
Add another L. They play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, the Steelers are coming off 2 losses, and it's primetime football. And it's not – Andy Dalton's not even in town anymore for the primetime woes. Don't know who the quarterback is yet. Brandon Allen didn't practice today. It is Thursday. Does have an extra day. They're going to want to hope that Brandon Allen is out there offensively.
Will it make a difference?
No.
Okay.
No, it won't make a difference. Honestly, this offense, they need to get something going early and fast. It's so cliche to say because every NFL team wants to score early. They can't score in the third quarter. It's been a problem all season long. No second half offense when you look at this team right now. I don't think a 3-back rotation is going to make much of a difference when they play the Steelers. You're playing a tough defense right now. Minka Fitzpatrick, the D-line, they're still strong. I think the Bengals are going to lose 28-10, and the Steelers will be just fine. They'll put on their AFC North 2020 championship hats at Paul Brown Stadium and claim another divisional title, and the Bengals will lose.
You don't sound too thrilled to say that, Lindsay.
I mean, what do we say? What do we say about them? What is exciting?
Will the Bengals score any of their 10 points in the third quarter?
No.
Will they score any point? A field goal or a touchdown in the second half?
No.
Okay, so it'll be pretty much the same story every single week. Bengals haven't scored in the third quarter since week 7. That is remarkable. But, I mean, it's even more remarkable that the Bengals haven't beat the Steelers since November 1st, 2015. Charlie, were you born yet then?
I just want to let you know I have referenced that game on the podcast. That's
So your dad, you saw it on the NFL Network, the classics, or
yeah, Joe Facenda was reading the highlights with the music in the background.
Okay. You know, I'm just messing with you, but yeah, I do not see the Bengals snapping their 11-game losing streak against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Mike Tomlin and Big Ben have had their number. A few weeks ago down in Pittsburgh, it was a demolition. And this week, I believe it's going to be the same. For the Bengals' sake, I hope they have a more competitive game to give them some, you know, hope that they can at least compete against the best teams in the AFC North. The Steelers had an easy way with them. The Ravens had an easy way with them, you know, at the beginning of the season. So for the Bengals to keep this game close, they are going to have to play complementary football. Brandon Wilson, if he plays, you know, have some good returns in the kick return game. You know, turn the football over, something the Bengals have not been able to do. They've been giving the football away.
Definitely.
But they haven't created many turnovers this season. So, you know, got to do that and get after Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger was not sacked at all in the first matchup. He was only pressured, I believe, 6 times. He sat way too comfortable in the pocket, had a season high in passing yards in that game. So the Bengals have their hands full against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm not breaking any news at all, but I just don't see an injury-riddled team that the Bengals are being able to upset the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football. I have Pittsburgh winning 27-10, and no, I do not think the Bengals will score in the third quarter.
So I like to play the game on this podcast. Who am I watching? Who do I think has a lot at stake in this matchup? I think, you know, it's going to be a difficult game for Carl Lawson to do much just because Pittsburgh gets the ball out so quickly. I think that, again, since Pittsburgh gets the ball out so quickly, it's going to be tough to judge any of the defensive backs, really anyone on defense. And then their defensive line is so talented that it'll be hard. And because the Bengals will have a quarterback who, whether it's Finley or Allen, has struggled not getting sacked this year, it'll be difficult to gauge the offensive line. I really think the Bengals with the most at stake by far is Austin Seibert here. I think that he's really playing for his future on the team, which kind of shows where this matchup stands, though. You know, there's not a ton even, unless the Bengals have a shocking performance that can really even be taken away from the game. I think the team that's as good up the middle as the Steelers are compared to where the Bengals are at. And Salvador played well, and I think Pittsburgh wins 27-6.
Well, you guys, that exciting matchup is at Paul Brown Stadium on Monday Night Football. Make sure you stay with Cincinnati.com. I know Tyler has the three keys up there. We'll have a preview. What else is going to be online, guys?
Why the latest on Geno Atkins' shoulder injury and his future, and why the next three games are critical for these 2020 Cincinnati Bengals.
I'll just have a notebook up today. It's online right now. Just updating how things are going. Atkins, Vixen, quarterbacks, and Shane Williams. I'm looking forward to early next week. I'll have an update on how things are going in the scouting department as the Bengals prepare for a pandemic-impacted NFL draft.
Make sure you check it out, Cincinnati.com, over on Twitter, ENQ Sports, and Instagram, ENQ Bengals. Thank you for listening.
Wait, question of the week.
Oh, you knew I was trying to wrap that up.
Question of the when Lindsay always does this. Charlie, we have to get on her that
I know it, what you're
there's
doing.
Always question of the week.
Go ahead.
You don't know what I'm doing. All right. So as we all know, the Bengals have not beaten the Steelers since 2015. What is your fondest memory about 2015, the year 2015?
I will say for me personally, getting to cover that season, Andy Dalton was having an MVP year. He had one of the best offensive lines, and the Cincinnati Bengals are still trying to find those replacements at tackle and at guard. I think when they improved to 8-0 on the season, I want to say, and I'm losing my train of thought here because 5 years and a lot of losing football later, they were 8-0. It was a primetime football game, and just the excitement, I think, around this team. I think there was hope that they were going to be a one or two seed until, unfortunately, they played the Pittsburgh Steelers in round two of regular season, their second matchup, and Andy Dalton tried to make a tackle and hurt his hand, and he was done for the season, and no looking back after that with A.J. McCarron. So it had a lot of ups and downs. Obviously, you can point to the playoff game, but I think when they improved 8-0 on the season and people really believed in this team, what they were able to do in their division, they had really big hopes for Andy Dalton and being a top team in the playoffs, but all of that didn't happen.
Okay. Charlie?
I'll go with a personal memory. 2015 is the year that I really fell off the drawing. I got my first byline. I don't know if you guys know this. My first byline was a guest PML for Doc in the morning line. And I wrote a story, you know, guest PML on a Friday about how the Reds early season was looking. And 5 years later, here I am at the Enquirer.
Full circle.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah, 2015, I think that was my first byline, too. Ironically, I was working at NFL.com. It was my first journalism job in Culver City, California, and I was within a year there. And, yeah, that I think 2015, it could have been 2014, my first byline. But, yeah, that was a fond memory. And also, I was a freelance high school reporter. And I said this on Twitter a couple of times, but I was covering a team, Chino Hills. And Chino Hills had Lonzo Ball, LaMelo Ball, and LiAngelo Ball. And that team went 35-0. And I remember the first time I interviewed LeVar Ball, their dad, and nobody really knew him at all. And I was interviewing him on the phone, and he was making all this outlandish statements and predictions. My son's going to be better than Magic Johnson. My son's going to be better than Steph Curry. They're going to win NBA. I was like, yo, your son is in high school. Like, this is high school, right? Nobody really knew him at this point. I was like, wow, this guy is a trip. And it was one of the best interviews. And he was like, yeah, you know, you can come over to the house and interview my boys anytime you want. I'll cook you pancakes. Done. I was like, really?
Done.
I was like, so.
So, okay. Tyler, you started it with the Ball family. Yeah.
I won't say that claim, but he was making all these predictions. And to his credit, a lot of it's come true. He has two sons in the NBA. I know LiAngelo did not make the Detroit Pistons, but that first conversation in 2015 was wild because I was like, yo, you're making a lot of predictions right now. I hope your sons can cash all these checks that you're making. So, yeah, that's the first question of the week. Well, this is part two of question of the week because we had it earlier. So the next question is a prediction. I think Lindsay knows where I'm going with this. What will happen first? Will the Bengals win another game or will I get a PS5?
You will get the PS5.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see them win another game this season.
I mean, I might not get a PS5 until next season, the way things are going.
Yeah. You're...
Wow. Lindsay has faith in my PS5 shopping abilities. What about you, Charlie?
I'll just use my time here to say that I'm rooting for you, Tyler, sincerely, to get your PlayStation 5. I'm sincerely rooting for you.
I do appreciate that. A tear just rolled down my face. Thank you, Charlie.
Maybe Santa Claus will bring one next week because he's not bringing a win to Cincinnati.
Wow. See what the Bengals did to Lindsay's optimism?
What do you say? We're not even getting into that. They have two wins, a tie, and the Steelers are looking for a win after dropping two, and they're ready to wrap up the division. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast. Make sure you check out all the coverage on Cincinnati.com.